this thing. No title again.
And I did not live in a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. Checking in. This, folks, is the start of another series of podcasts. And since I'm not doing them on my iPhone, I have no idea whatsoever when these will get uploaded. And just yesterday, that was August, 12th yesterday, I uploaded three. No, it was 11th yesterday. Today's the 12th. Yesterday, I uploaded three podcasts from my study tour trip. Hope you enjoyed them. Spread them out. And when I get back, September or August 30th, I'll start putting these clips together. And this will be the start. As you can hear, I'm in the airport, Pearson International, cleared customs, and I'm now sitting at the gate for my flight, my 220 flight to Denver. It is now only 12:45. Yes, I am early, but that's the way I like to do things. I just do not like being anxious and waiting, and worrying about time or anything. I'm just one of those people. I would far rather get here, sit down, I've got my iPhone, my iPad plugged in, recharging, cleared customs, and let me tell you, that was an ordeal. Holy shit. All started off when I checked in last night, you know, on the internet. That's so neat. Print your boarding pass, pay for your baggage, everything's done. And then come to the machines that read, you know, and it'll print out a new boarding pass for you if you want, which I like. And it'll print out your baggage tag. It's wonderful. Except when it asked me to put in my passport, first of all, I'm trying to slide this thing in and it won't go. And I figure, what's the matter with me if I got the wrong slot? I got a lot of trouble just with that passport reader. And anyway, finally, it reads it and says, well, that doesn't match your ticket. Go to check-in assistance. And so, shit. After all that preparation to breeze past every line, I have to check in manually because my passport has me down as Kenneth Robert. My Air Canada ticket has me down as Ken. And computers can't figure out that Ken is short for Kenneth. So now, when I get home, I'm going to have to change my Air Canada status, preferences, whatever, and say, actually, from now on, call me Kenneth. You know. So anyway, that was just annoying to have to stand in a long line of people, and now I'm always in a line that never seems to move, and then you've got to go through this damn customs. Once they take your, you know, tag your bag, you're going through U.S. Customs. Well, holy shit. That's an ordeal, and I'm always uncomfortable, especially going into the States. I don't know why. It's guilt or something. There's nothing to be guilty for, but I have had trouble in the past for nothing, just, you know, once was a drive-away car, and once I may have been hitchhiking, and that might have been a problem, yes. But anyway, it's just always that sense. And the border agents, when you finally go through, you know, and they don't look at you, they just sort of start firing off questions in this cold, detached voice, and you figure, oh shit, I'm going to give the wrong answer. purpose of the trip. Sightseeing. I said I wanted to see the four big heads of the presidents. Which was true. I mean, that's the highlight to me of the trip, is to see the four big heads. Oh, yeah. So my buddy, my traveling buddy, the Barstool Buddha, called me last night. And I had already enjoyed much of what Denver has to offer. Say no more. And I was pretty damn happy. So I look forward. It's just a matter of hours before I'm on that plane and flying off to him. And he said he's not venturing out to the airport to pick me up. I'll just have to take a shuttle. And there is a shuttle to the hotel. And boy, oh boy, this is it. This is the beginning of a vacation. Not without a little bit of guilt. Like, here I am. I just got back Sunday from my tour. I hadn't seen my family for the past, you know, 2 weeks. And now Tuesday I'm off on a, you know, self-indulgent holiday, and through a rather intense conversation with my son, number two son, yesterday, kind of reminded me that poor mom doesn't get much in the way of holidays and works pretty damn hard for us, and I let her know how much she is appreciated, and fact is I just have to find better ways of showing it. I really do want to bring that up. I know it's probably something I've touched on before. It's personal. I've always thought I was being personal on this podcast and sharing intimate things, and there's some things anyway. There's a limit, of course. But being truthful and authentic, and sometimes I wonder if that's really entirely true or whether I'm just sort of tailoring the message to make me look pretty good. Well, I want to tell you, in terms of like the study tour and in terms of the way I get along with people, I come out, I'm a shining star. I don't mind saying that. I really do some things very well. But when it comes to my own family, my relationships with my wife and my sons, I got a hell of a long way to go to get better. And there's just no way around that. I failed, and I think I would be the one. Here I am offering talk of help. You know, you got any problems? Just contact Ken. I got a counseling certificate. Yeah, well, forget that. I take it back. I'm the one who needs help. I really am. I'm just this. So much more I've got to improve on, and you know, it's one of those things you think maybe it's, you'll find out on your deathbed, if only I had a, and nobody wants that, right? So I'll leave it at that, but I do count on both my sons to keep me honest, and maybe that's one of the purposes of having children, to help you grow. I do, in every interaction I have with my children, I do, in the back of my mind, I think of, there must be some scene playing out of interactions with my own father. It's just, I don't know, but I know I can do a lot better, and I rely on both Chuck and Jerry to help me. If they have the patience and the forgiveness for it, I will try to do better. I don't think I'm ready yet to tell you the incident that started this whole thing off, but I could sum it up in one sentence. I was stupid again. Anyway, what will probably follow from this will be a lot of nonsense. So anytime you hear me in future say, holy shit, I came up with the best idea ever, you can be damn sure it's not true, and the idea has a major flaw in it, and it will fall apart and disintegrate like the airy fairy dust it was made of to start with. When I say I got a $1 million idea from Mitch Joel, the same Mitch Joel who may have a cup of coffee with me, but certainly doesn't have the time for a meal with me, which I fully understand. I think if I do one more of those, I've got this $1 million Mitch Joel idea, I won't even get the cup of coffee time with him. So what I'm doing is I'm preparing you for what might follow. All right? Take it with a pinch of fairy dust. Okay. Enough. This is the start of the Southwest Vacation 2014. Scarborough Dude signing out from Pearson International Airport. Next time you hear from me, hopefully, I'll be in Denver, Colorado. Bye for now. To everyone in the territory who needs extra support. Karen says it's also important to reach out to each other. Tracy says she grieves the camping trips and commuters that didn't happen this summer, but at least her garden has kept her busy.
It was the first lady that checked me, not the first lady. Okay, so this is part of the conversation you don't want to hear, and that's Harold and I setting wake-up time. So we have resolved it. Harold gets up at 6 a.m. probably. As long as I'm up by 7, I'm ready to go for breakfast by 7:30. And we have the perfect place. The diner, does it have a name, Harold? The
Moonlight.
Oh, the Moonlight, of course, the Moonlight. Moonlight Diner, bar and restaurant, bar and diner. A wonderful place where we spend our first night here in Denver, Colorado. I gotta tell you, hats off to the Barstool Buddha for letting karma lead him to a reasonably priced hotel not far from the airport. But a bar with striking distance of, I mean, a hotel within striking distance of a bar and diner, and one look and you say, holy shit. If there were 10 bars and diners on the street, I'd probably still pick this one. That's how wonderful it was. And a very interesting evening talking to a San Diego native, getting through life. Open, honest, candid conversation, kind of like. A couple of jelly babies or whatever they are that come loaded with THC. And, of course, that made what was guaranteed to be a very interesting evening. And then four different pints of very, very good beer. I don't know what he's doing, fucking around with the lights here, but all right. Okay. Amazing pints. I ended with a vanilla porter. I had a 90 shilling, probably an ESB, I guess. Two others. One was dark, a dark lager. All excellent, excellent beer. So, a flying start to the first day of the tour. No problem. Harold said, nope, not picking you up at the airport at all. If you get to aisle 3, door 111, I believe it was.
Door
511. Door 511, sorry, exactly. A vehicle will come and pick you up, and of course it did in time. Touch and go. I was a little worried it might not, but I'm going to have to phone. But it did, and here I am back in the hotel now. After ingesting our second jelly baby, they look like little raspberries. I think they're raspberry treats, maybe. Was that what they're called, Harold?
I think that's what they are called.
Raspberry treats, and they certainly are. Nothing to send you out into Crazyville, but just a very, very nice, pleasant way to spend an evening.
Raspberry jellies.
Raspberry jellies, that's what they were. We have, sometime before the tour ends, we have to get our way through the Monkey Bar. One which was recommended you break into four pieces, not just one. And a few other goodies. So anyway, that's off to the flying start I talked about, and I'm pretty impressed that within 15 minutes of being at the airport, no, of the hotel, I'll take one of those. Thank you. So a good evening. Good evening drinking beer. Good evening enjoying these things. A good first day. A good traveling day. My wife drove me to the airport. That was a bonus. And the Barstool Buddha himself has put everything into place, got things rolling. So it's pretty nice to arrive in town and bam, meet up. This is very, very reminiscent of arriving in Morocco at the Pension Miami, where all the other hippies and heads were staying. You just had to find your way there a day late because they didn't let you in the first time. But you knew where to go. And same thing here. Follow Harold's lead, and here you are. All right, boys, girls, cutting down, shutting down. 4 minutes, 25 seconds. Harold, anything needed to be added to that first entrance clip? Interesting discussion with somebody you met up with last night. And that's about it. It's not pleasant looking at an old man in underwear, you know. So it's much better to focus on the recording. You'll have to do the same. All right, folks. Tomorrow we're off to, where are we going tomorrow? Battlefield? No, no, the Four Pumpkins? The
Mount Rushmore.
Headman of the Apocalypse?
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore. That'll be a good one. And the next day is Little Bighorn. Holy shit, how good does that get? All right. Scabber Dude signing off. Okay, cutting in here. Song in the background. The only reason I got this recorder out is because the song before this on the country station was Bob Dylan's Five Believers from Blonde on Blonde. And I'm thinking, whoa, they've stretched the limits of country there. It's a fine station on Sirius Satellite. Harold's Choice. We're going to do country music all the way. And here we are rolling through fucking Wyoming, looking at this gorgeous, these hills, these brown hills, a side road, Highway 270. Harold programmed the Garmin Darth Vader thing there that tells you where you're going. Programmed it to avoid the big highways, the interstates. So here we are, no traffic, and a wonderful winding side road. Just going through new country altogether. We left Denver this morning, 8 o'clock, right on time. And here we are. Rolling along, change of scenery from flat plains to some rugged buffalo country. Cattle country. And then some rough land, and now it's rolling. And what they were seeing on those posts back there, the trees on one side from snow melt, where they'd be a little greener, clusters of trees, but beautiful scenery and just a sense of the open road, which is exactly why we came. I got the rock right here in its little precious little bag. Can't lose that. Camera handy, and I've had the benefit of 1010 this morning ingesting one of those wonderful little jelly candies that makes just everything oh so much more fun. Thank you, Colorado, and hello, Wyoming. So I'll get back to you. Just thought it'd be good to have a little clip in here of an update of where we are and what we're doing, and that is just rolling along this wonderful winding highway. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that sounded like it's stretching.
Indeed it is. And that's why I'm kind of enjoying the station. I mean, doing the traditional stuff, but they're really putting their own stamp on it. All right. Signing out. CCR, one of your favorite bands.
crazy about all the time. Good like Susie Q.
Who is this?
I don't know.
Showing on the.
Bob Seger. Bob Seger
doing Jesse James.
That's good. Oh, there's the classic old windmill, I guess, to bring up some water, right?
They undergo psychiatric evaluations.
Sure made me look like a pile of crap.
It's like some science experiment that's gone horribly awry.
Outlaw Country.
Sirius XM Radio.
Glad I got that in. Amazing. It's just amazing, this scenery. Just this vast, like some strange rolling hills and these flat-top outcrops.
Yeah, you don't get in Canada unless,
no. I guess you... Alberta's got similar country, but you wouldn't get...
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
I've seen some things that you will see on my face. I've got some memories I will never erase. I'm gonna have to bring those memories with me out of this place. Bring them home, bring them home, bring them home.
No, 65 on a side road, two-lane highway.
Yeah. I think we're going to turn up into something even. Not going to be dirt.
We're heading for the big heads. That's what we're doing. But certainly a nice journey getting there. And we both believe, or firmly in belief, that we will have the same good karma on this trip as we had on the Maritime trip. And it's a form of positive thinking. I think actually we generated a little karma last night talking to Paul.
Yes.
Certainly made for a more pleasant evening for him than sitting at that other table. And he appreciated us listening to him, and we appreciated his openness. That was a fun encounter. Oh, yeah. This is nice.
Yeah, I feel pretty well obliged to podcast from here. I don't know of any of my friends who've done it, but it is a spectacular sight, and it's one it's been on my list for a very long time. It is, of course, Mount Rushmore National Park, and I'm looking right up now. I'm as far as you can go sort of walking from this visitor center area, and there's a nice series of benches, and I'm right in the front looking straight up at the four presidents. First glance from the parking lot, I think, oh, shit, that's kind of small. I thought it'd be much bigger. But when you do get close, wow, it's big. It's a big deal. It's a wonderful thing, and it's fun just staring at these guys. Now, Harold and I had a discussion about which presidents, and I'm saying, no. That's got to be Jefferson there. Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and... we just said him. Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. That's my guess. I could read and tell you, or you probably, if you're American, you know for sure. You probably had to memorize it. It is neat. I don't know what else I can say about it. Long, beautiful drive to get here through a lot of, the plains, the wooded area. Sort of, you can picture the bison country. You can picture the native peoples riding along. We were trying to figure out who introduced the horses to North American Indians. And I always believed or thought it was the Spanish who brought them from Europe. And when they came, say, the 1500s, 1600s, for the conquest of Central America and Mexico, And then we're wondering, well, how did they spread so fast and so far? Because we picture our Plains Indians with, you know, with horses. Did they really just get it that quickly and spread throughout the continent like that? Or were they here before? It's an easy answer. Just have to Google it. You probably already know. Anyway, I'm not going to go on for too much longer. I just thought I'd do this. I've got the rock. I'm taking the necessary rock photos in front of the president. Got a selfie. You know, everything you do when you come to a National Historic Site. But it is pretty cool seeing them, and it's yeah, I like that. And you do have to think about that movie, North by Northwest, when you see it. More than the site itself. Wow. It'd be amazing to be up there. Holy shit. Yeah, it's looking bigger and bigger the more I look at it now. All right. I'll talk to you later on. Bye for now. Yeah. I did lock it. It's Wednesday night, August 13th. I'm sitting on the deck, second floor outside room, I don't know, 219 or something. 126, I was close. Of the Fountain Hotel or Motel in Newcastle, Wyoming. Not Custer, South Dakota, where we were very close to staying, but Newcastle, South Dakota, which if you had to compare the two, well, you'd be thinking Custer might be a more interesting place. And I want to, if I can, talk about that just a little, because we didn't quite get synced on decision making today. And I realized much too late that actually I really wanted to stay in a motel in South Dakota, in Custer, and walk the streets and check the stores and look at the bars. And I didn't express it. I said, I'll let it go. We checked around a couple of hotels for price, motels for price. Could have had them. Found one, bam, down to $75. Perfect. And it was called Mile High. Mile High. Which is what we wanted to do. And we still didn't take it. We drove on through construction and ended up back in Wyoming, in Newcastle. And there's a part of me, I mean, I'm doing everything possible to sort of think of this in some karmic terms of, well, it was the right decision. And it's not feeling that way at all. So I thought, well, if you're going to salvage anything out of the day, analyze why did it come to this. And I think I just wasn't very clear on stating what my preferences would have been. Is that you?
Yes.
Okay. Does that signify anything? Does that signify anything? So, I'm looking for lessons learned. I'm looking for something I can take away from this. And I don't know yet. And it got me, as I started thinking about that, it got me into kind of a downward spiral. And I started thinking about my son, Chuck, and my wife, and how much better, kinder, more loving I could be as a father, as a husband. How I could show it more. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what are you telling folks here? You really want to share that? But there's just this feeling of you can be a certain person to lots of people, and everybody likes you, and you be kind and have friends and people look up to you. But you look at your own life and you take a closer look at your life and you think you could be, you should be, you need to be doing a lot better than you are. That's a shitty feeling. we're sort of stranded. They have a bar with shitty beer, but then it's only $3 a pint, and if you drink the Budweiser, it's $2 a pint. And on Thursdays, it's $1 a pint. But all I feel like is ice water, and I guess I'm going to have to go into the bar and ask for some. At this place, I explained a little bit our dilemma, and I took for myself, I wanted to learn a lesson. I suggested it was me not expressing, because that's exactly what I wanted, and I just sort of foolishly, clearly, whatever stopped me from saying, hey, I also got a deal here. We agreed earlier in the car that was a dual process of you owned up to your part of just not making a decision on the matter, just as easy to drive on, refusing to comment on that.
Oh, I didn't realize I was in.
Yeah, I was talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
I wondered. I thought, boy, he's really angry. He's not even going to answer. Excuse me. So,
positive come out of it somewhere.
Well, there will, and the lessons can come from anywhere. Like I'm thinking, you know, with deep affection. God, that sounds pretty limited.
But in a
thinking
moment,
about in my, another, my wife and son. That's where that's what's
in another universe.
Me.
You're having a beer in Custer, Montana.
If one were to believe in other universes,
Custer, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking for the take-home from this, and not sure if I got it.
It doesn't sound like you did.
Not yet, no. But, well, I'm in that direction. I think this is some sort of, almost to me, a little bit of newspaper across the nose, really. That's the kind of lesson. You don't like it, but you figured you had it coming.
That's being a bit harsh.
Well, sometimes it's hard to know if a person, if you're harsh on yourself. Somebody else could argue the other thing. No, hey, you just give yourself a hard time, but you do your best and you get on with it, but
radio station we've listened to.
Country. Yeah, wide variety of music. It was a good companion for the day. I needed to get a couple of podcasts out of the way, but I actually am preferring the music just on its own, not knowing what's next. God damn, I want that ice water.
Bet there's an ice machine somewhere. I'll bet downstairs.
Well, I'm wondering if there is. I mean, a good hotel always has one, but I didn't see an ice bucket in the bathroom. They have that too, an ice machine. It's not much good without an ice bucket, but I'll go look. No final comments?
No, not really.
I'll dwell a little more on this. Go look for ice.
Yeah. 10 o'clock at night, and I'm sitting by myself on a bench out here, second floor, in Newcastle, a result of wrong choices, and I realize in many ways I'm making some wrong choices, and maybe that sounds trite to you, but something seems to be hitting home, and maybe in a good way. Some things I probably don't even want to share. The only reason I turned on the recorder is because I thought for a moment it was very important to tell you I don't know who I am. You know, in answer to the question, who are you?
gosh, I don't know. Tough question. Do you know who you are? Because, I mean, the issue is we can continually redefine ourselves. We can be whoever we want to be. And I don't mean you can all grow up to be ballet dancers, but just pick a reasonable choice of what it is you want to do. Be reasonable. Yeah, I know. Some would say that's setting the bar too low. I don't know what else I have to do. I'm thinking some great noble cause, you know, you have to serve somebody. It all got back to that glass of water, me craving ice water, and realized, look, I can go in and get water without the ice. And it really did stop you for a moment to think of all those who don't have water of any kind, or hungry, or in jail, imprisoned, and here's me wanting ice water. That's all I want. And the issue, are we guilty for not doing enough? And I think the answer has to be yes. But how do we do it? What do we do? Where, when? No excuses, just do it. It is complicated being a human because it's just so many ways to be. A lot of thinking about my wife and sons, me in relation to them. It's almost like a story playing out, you know. Am I just playing out my relationship with my father? Is there something there I was missing? Can't think of what. Anyway, we can all try and do better in the future. Better in there.
Yeah. outlaw people. Sorry about yesterday. If you were tuned in and whatever, something else was going on. But sometimes I just can't make the microphone. But I did it today, and I did it and after Country and Western Night last night. So I am an Olympic champion of Style of Radio. And you're an Olympic champion because obviously you're up doing some shit too. I mean, some people are out fishing right now. But even that, I mean, this takes an effort, you know. It might be something that you're doing that you don't have to do, but that don't mean that you didn't have to do some shit to do it. So respect. Respect. Respect for Shaver. Billy Joe Shaver has a brand new record, but he used to be partnered up with his son, Eddie, who had an unfortunate drug overdose and died really young. He was a crazy, good, shredding country rock guitar player.
My listeners to listen to country music for the rest of the podcast. There's already quite a few who make use of the fast forward button. That was another freight train we went by full of coal.
That's a big industry in Wyoming, I know.
Here to be. This is working man's country.
Oh, yeah.
These ain't city boys that we're chowing down with. Especially where we had lunch in Lusk. Bought myself a souvenir bison. Pretty happy about that plane. Might have opened my window. No, I was accusing you of it.
No, I didn't. That was the byproduct.
Must be the
natural gas.
Must be the country then. Yeah. I got these little wells going here. So natural gas.
Natural gas.
Yeah, they're all over here, little pumps.
Yeah.
Okay. Flatland we're looking at. Mountains in the real far distance. And this is prairie land.
Very similar to country up and around Fort St. John's.
Now, what was it we went through yesterday? The they had a name for it.
The Black Hills?
The Black Hills. That was the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Yeah.
All the way up to the Big Heads.
Yeah. Beatles, I put it on the White Album. They did a song on the Black Hills.
Okay. Been that crazy little song. Somewhere in the Black Hills, South Dakota, there lives somebody, crazy young girl. I think that's Ubla the Ubla Da song.
Could well be, yeah. I think it's on the double white.
It is. I start completely forgetting my Beatles stuff. That's a bad warning sign. I think that would have to be my Alzheimer's test, you know. Really, because that's something I should have pretty well intact. I brought one CD with me, which, wow, that's a huge, vast, open plane ahead of us. One CD with me, which is Revolver, an unopened special edition. And that would be a good one to listen to a little later on in its entirety as a CD. Especially after a little jelly bear. All right. Signing off. I think my listeners have had enough of this country shit.
Want to look their best when they met their maker. So all the Crow Scouts are dressing up in their finest regalia. Custer is going to ask Mitch Boyer what these Crow Scouts are doing. So Mitch Boyer is going to have to go ahead goes ahead will tell Mitch Boyer in the Crow language that Custer is crazy and we are riding straight into our death. And if we are going to die in a matter of seconds, we want to go as traditional Crow warriors. So once Custer reaches the base of those mountains, he will split his command into four battalions. So he's going to send Captain Frederick Benteen off to the south, so about 20 miles to the south. Now Benteen has 125 men with him. Benteen is given the orders to cut out these Indians that may be fleeing south and to keep in contact. Now Custer and Reno are going to march down further. Can you guys see this valley area here? You'll see the timber area. So that's going to be present-day Reno Creek. So Custer and Reno are going to come down this valley. From that point, Custer is going to deviate Reno from his command. Now Reno has 145 men with him. Reno is given the orders to charge down the valley floor, pitch into anything you find, and I will soon support you. Now Custer is going to advance straight to the north with approximately 220 men. The pack train is going to follow behind. The pack train has the extra ammunition and supplies, as well as an extra 125 men. So do you guys see the layout now? So Benteen is off to the south. Reno is charging down the valley floor. Custer advancing straight to the north, and the pack train to follow behind. Now, as Reno is charging down this valley floor, he will start to see remnants of this very large Indian encampment. So if you guys can see the red building, and then you'll see the timber line. Now, so not much has changed since the time of the battle as far as the landscape. So the timber line is still going to be the same where it is today. So between the red building and the timber line, you'll see that little opening. Now, they found bullet casings down there that stretches all the way for about a mile going across the interstate. So they assume that's where Reno would form his skirmish line. So Reno is going to halt his battalion, and he's going to form a skirmish line. Now, when those soldiers form that skirmish line and when they pour their fire into that Indian village, the first to die is going to be the women and children. So this is where the Huncapa war chief, Gall, is going to lose his two wives and three daughters. So these warriors are going to be furious. They're ready to fight once the women and children start to die. So these warriors are going to be furious. So the night before the battle, down in that Indian village, there was a great celebration. So these Indians were not expecting a battle. They were celebrating on into the early morning hours of the 25th. So Wooden Legs, the young Northern Cheyenne warrior, in his account, he will describe that he was just going into his teepee, falling into a deep sleep seconds before Reno engaged the southern end. He said, I thought I was dreaming as I heard the sound of the war call. He said, I quickly came out of my teepee to see nothing but dust and smoke as thousands of warriors were preparing themselves for battle. So once these warriors hear that war call, they're going to start to prepare themselves for battle. So Wooden Legs, just coming out of his teepee, sees nothing but dust and smoke as thousands of warriors began to prepare themselves for battle. He said, I quickly prepared myself for battle, jumped on my horse. I could see nothing but dust and smoke. All I could do was follow the sound of the war call coming from the Huncapas. So this is the southern end where the Huncapa Sioux are. So he's following the sound of the war call coming from the Huncapas. He says, as I got closer, I could see a line of soldiers. That's going to be Reno's skirmish line. He says, as I neared even closer, I could see that there wasn't very many bullets being poured in among us. However, there was thousands of arrows being poured among the bluecoats. So eventually, you'll see that Reno's skirmish line is going to get outflanked by the hundreds of warriors coming in. So he'll only fight for about 15 minutes where he forms the skirmish line. From that point, he's going to order his men to retreat into that timber. Once he's in that timber area, Reno is going to look to Bloody Knife. And so Bloody Knife was one of Custer's most favorite and trusted recruit scouts. So Reno asked Bloody Knife for advice on how they should proceed to fight these Indians. Unfortunately, at that same second, Bloody Knife will take a bullet from the back of his head. It'll come out his forehead, shatter his brain matter all over Reno. So Reno's going to lose his composure down in the valley floor. He's going to start to give out contradictory orders to his men, telling them to mount, dismount, mount, fight on foot, fight on horseback. His men are going to be confused. So at this point, it's going to be every man for himself. Reno is going to tell whoever was in his vicinity, whoever could hear him, if you want to live, come with me. Down in Reno's command, he has a trumpeter. However, he's going to fail to use his trumpeter. For whatever reason, he's going to fail to use his trumpeter. So he will leave about 20 men down in that valley floor. Now, even the horses are trained to respond to a retreat call, so they're going to retreat with those soldiers on their backs. However, Reno failed to do this from the tree. Now, those who heard him, those that were in his vicinity, are going to be the ones that are able to retreat. So he's going to order them to cross the river and come up that bluff. However, the river is going to be flooded. The cut men will be
Well, it's quite a story. Yo. It's very wet. Okay, hang on. Skag Lounge? No, the Snag Bar. It was very close. Snag Bar in Purple Lodge, no, Red Lodge, Montana. And we'll be on where we plan to be in terms of drinking and not having supper. But this is the place to be. And Harold, the Barstool Buddha, and I are exchanging some very fine, fine stories that only those intimately involved with our lives would even know. And by that, I mean him working on a crew sailing down the Yukon River for Whitehorse, Dawson City. And just any other number of tales that would rival the tales of Kerouac and Neil Cassidy. Those are our lives. We've been very fortunate, and I've been very fortunate to cultivate a wide range of very interesting friends. Sorry, I haven't done a better job sharing their stories with you, but I'll work on it. Now back to my beer in the Snag Bar. Red Lodge, Montana. Montana? No, that didn't sound right. How about Montana? Yeah, Montana is better. Forgive me, I'm on my third gummy bear. Wild crowd. Larry would like this bar. Larry would be at home here. Well, it's just fitting that they have Yukon Jack sitting up there. Like, that just surprises me.
And so we are now in Montana, driving west on Highway 212, heading for Yellowstone National Park. And we are on the Beartooth Scenic Highway. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And it's absolutely stunningly gorgeous view already. We're climbing, you said we'll climb to 11,000 feet at one point.
Approximately.
This is amazing. Absolutely beautiful day. We had a rainy day for Custer's Last Stand, and it was fitting. Touring the battle site in the drizzle, there was an awful lot of sadness in the area, of course. And a site that I would recommend anybody make a tour. And this highway, my gosh. An excellent tour. And it's only day four for me from, after arriving in Denver. Trip has been helped along very nicely by those special candies and gummies and bars and things you can buy in Denver now. It certainly served me well. And I'm feeling a lot better today than I deserve to be, having had at least two beer too many last night. But I couldn't resist walking into the Blue Ribbon Bar and spending the evening talking to the owner, trying to find out why he was so heavily armed. And, of course, the answer is protection against the government. But I had a very good feeling about Montana overall. I really enjoyed it. And the vista is getting more and more spectacular, so I'm just going to end this conversation right here and get right back into watching the highway unfold ahead. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Reminiscent, of course, of the Canadian Rockies. It's been absolutely stunning. All right. Signing out. This will be mostly a musical podcast, this one. Listeners, welcome to Fast Forward. If you don't want to share the country music.
Can I have your attention, please?
I think it does look like we start to go down.
Picture time.